Say it with me. Resurrection.
Resurrection.
Power.
Power.
Resurrection.
Resurrection.
Power.
Power.
Philippians 3:10. Paul says that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. So I want you to see today, as we talk about resurrection power, that there's a lot of power that's going on that early Sunday morning when Jesus was risen from the dead. After his death on the cross and burial in a borrowed tomb, great power was displayed by the Heavenly Father, Amen. Who raised him from the dead with all his mighty power, mighty strength, and mighty muscle. We see the Father God and the Lord Jesus doing some heavy power lifting. And Jesus' power cleaned everything away from the devil. Everybody say power.
Power.
Resurrection power.
Resurrection power.
See, the power that raised Christ from the dead was the single most and greatest demonstration of God's power in history. And I want you to think about that. Because even greater than creation itself was the power of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Now remember, he was just not got tortured and beat, and he finally got up and overcame rigor mortis. Jesus was not just overcoming rigor mortis, he was overcoming death, hell, and the grave. He was overcoming the dead. Because see, many people look at this event or as historic, but they don't look at it as right now, present tense, here and now, relevant. See, we see Paul in Philippians chapter 3 compare the power of Christ's resurrection that he proclaimed, that knowing his power is far more impactful and far more important than having the edge by cultural heritage and family pedigree or the right experience. Or having an excellent report, being known as a good person, a perfect person, or a person who does everything right. And this was more important than having the best education, which we see Paul was educated at the feet of Gamaliel, and he was a Pharisee by divinity standards. He was the Pharisee of the Pharisee, a lawyer. He was perfect. And having the right expertise needed. So if you turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, Philippians the third chapter, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Give me a second to get there. Everybody say resurrection.
Resurrection.
Power.
Power.
Philippians chapter 3, it says, finally, brethren, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Reading out of King James. For me to write the same things to you, it indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. How many know it's safe to always talk about the resurrection? Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Beware of people, in other words, that take you back to a powerless life, to powerless living. And tradition and religious tradition takes you back to powerless life and powerless living. Beware of the people that always want to take you back and take you to a place where they only think about the external trappings and the frivolity of the Easter holiday. There's no power in those things. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he had more, whereof more he might trust in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. See, he's talking about his edge because of cultural heritage and family pedigree. As touching a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. He's talking about his expertise and his education. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness of the law, blameless. So he's talking about his excellent report. And then these things which were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things, everybody say all things, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And he's given us a indication or a clue that we should count everything as loss. What are we relying on when we look in the light of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection? Are we relying on our education, our expertise, our excellence, our excellent report, rather, our edge that we perhaps may have? But we ought to be thinking about the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Do I know enough of why he died? What was accomplished in his death? The power of his cross, or the power of his resurrection. For whom I've suffered the loss of all things. I do count them but dung. He said, in comparison to knowing Christ, it's like cow dung, it's like animal waste. See, all the memories and a lot of times pictures and the plaques and the certificates of achievement that we look at, and sometimes we can get real inflated about our self-worth in the sense of, I did all this, I am all this, I've accomplished all this. But when it comes to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, all this, all these things are like animal waste. Cow dung, that I may win Christ. Paul wasn't saying this is a lose-win proposition. He said this is a win-win. When he's saying that I may win Christ, he said, I looked at what I did and who I was without Christ, and I looked at Christ and I said, losing all these things and gaining Christ is not a lose-win proposition, but a win-win proposition. Somebody say glory to God. Now you need to take that in, because this will help you navigate through the tough and tenuous times ahead. Now, and verse 9, listen, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Woo, glory to God. Being made conformable unto his death. Here is a man who was a shaker and a mover. He's in line to be the great high priest. He's very career ambitious. He's a very driven and passionate man. But he says, all this, I'll give it away just to know him. And to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Everybody say the power of his resurrection. Everybody say resurrection power. Resurrection power. So if by means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And he just doesn't stop there and says, well, I got his power once. But he says in verse 12, not as though I already attained something, even were already perfect, but I follow after. If I may, that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in where? Christ Jesus. See, the Apostle Paul proclaimed loud and clear, he wants to know this power. And he encourages the church to know this power as well. In Ephesians chapter 1, we see Paul praying by the Holy Spirit and calls it the exceeding greatness of his power. And he declares that it's for toward us who believe. Now remember, your belief determines your behavior. And so he said this power, caveated, is for those who believe. And if you believe, you receive resurrection power. But he called it the exceeding greatness of his power. How many want more power? To know that power. Now listen to what it says in the Passion Translation. Very beautiful illustration here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, 20 in the Passion Translation says, I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. That means you got to believe it to receive it. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. Now, what is he saying? He said, you can know this lifting from heaven above, this lifting up on high, this power, that the same power that raised Christ from the dead. You can know and continually experience that power. Woo! Glory to God. So let's go back and look at what the power did the cross bring us. Everybody said there's power in the cross. Galatians 6:14 says, but God forbid that I should boast except the cross in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. What you're bragging. You can't be bragging, my faith did it, or my power did it, or maybe I have a little bit more favor than you. That's how it got done. No, he said, I don't boast in anything except the cross in the cross. Are you boasting in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world? That means the world is dead to me. They had one of the guys on the Shark Tank, if you ever watched that show, and they call him Mr. Wonderful. And one of his phrases was, when he was done with the deal and he didn't want to do the deal, he said, you're dead to me. Okay, not many people watch that show. Okay, so anyway. You got to say to the things of the world, you're dead to me. Because your boasting is not, look at what I got. Look at what I can do. Look at what this and that. No, your boasting is in what? He said, except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to the Passion Translation. My only boast is in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. He said, my only boast. Our Messiah. He didn't brag on his experience. He didn't brag on his education. He didn't brag on how long he's been in church. He didn't brag on how faithful he's been. He didn't brag on how many books he wrote, how many speeches and sermons he gave. He bragged on what? The cross of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Amen. In him I have been crucified to the natural realm. And in the natural realm is dead to me, and no longer dominates my life. Hallelujah. See, it is said that that there's a wall built in Jerusalem to protect citizens from terrorists who are coming into their neighborhoods and killing innocent people. Now, we know that the enemy is what? He's a stealer, he's a killer, and he's a what? Destroyer. And so the enemy will sometimes try to creep into your house, creep into your marriage, creep into your finances, and like a terrorist, he's trying to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But this wall in Jerusalem, friends, is a 26 feet high and 33 feet wide in some places. Everybody said that's a big wall. But see, because see, they were built that way to endure bombs and absorb the explosion from a bomb. These guys walk around in these backpacks and throw a bomb right down there and try to bring down things. But this would withstand that blast. Praise God. And then it said, like the wall, the cross has been formed as a barrier to protect anyone who is in Christ from the world and from sin. Now, I want you to see this. There's power in the cross. Everybody say power in the cross. So this wall, this barrier, protects you and me as we're in Christ from the world and from sin. World wants to contaminate you. Sin wants to condemn you and keep from you the power of living for Jesus. Listen to what the Bruce translation says. The Isaac Bruce translation says it. Be it far from me to boast about anything except the cross of our head, Jesus Christ. The cross forms, listen to this, a permanent barrier to erect a fence between the world and me and between me and the world. Are you bragging on the cross? Some people look at the cross. Some people have a crucifix up on their house. Nothing necessarily wrong with that, but there's no power in a natural crucifix. Because Jesus is not still there, but that cross represents what he did for you and me. That's where the power is. You got to know what that cross represents and what Jesus did for you when he died for you and died for me. It erected a wall, a barrier against the world and against sin. You can shout, victory, victory. Sin has no hold on me. Woo! And we know sin, sickness, Satan, sorrow, shame, all that's synonymous. So we can say, this guy had no hold on me. The world can't get a grip on me. Because I have a barrier in my life. The barrier is the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross of Calvary is power in my life. Woo! Glory to God. You and I win, friends, against sin, Satan, and sickness, and shame, and sorrow because the power of the cross. Everybody say, we win because of the power of the cross. And it's ratified in the blood of Christ. Because that blood ratified the New Testament. And it's activated that New Testament. There's power in that. Because that cross is a symbol of torture. But he died so we can live. Amen. He was buried so we can not be buried by life and by circumstances. He went to hell and took the pain and penalty for our sins so we can go free and we can go to heaven. There's power in the cross. Everybody say power in the cross. But you got to declare it. Your identification in Christ. See, Paul wasn't going around bragging about himself. Now you got to think about this scripture I just read. You can go back and chew on it a little bit. Look at it in different translations as we read it. But you got to look at it. When he talked about, a lot of people talk about their favorite people. They talk about what they did and what they're doing and what they're trying to do, what they're trying to be. But Paul said, I don't brag about anything except the cross. That's where my identification starts. The cross. Whew, glory to God. Because it puts up a permanent barrier against the world's contamination and sin's condemnation. And sin's control over me. It puts up a barrier. Glory to God. Your identification with Christ is the only way to free yourself from sin and its power in your life. You struggling with something, then you need to be declaring the power of the cross. Go back and look at the cross, and don't just look at a crucifix, but look at the cross and remember what it represents. Confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord over my life from a heart of faith, believing that he died for me, went to hell for me, he paid the price for me, for my sin, my shame, my sickness, my sorrow, is a powerful and transformational thing to confess. Most people just want to confess Jesus as Lord once or every once in a while. but you need to be confessing. Your greatest confession you can make is Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I thank you, Father God, that you died on the cross for me, that you shed your blood for me, praise God, and that you went to hell for me, and that you rose from the dead on the third day, and there's power in your cross, and there's power in your resurrection. And I receive that power today. Woo! Glory to God. But if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, not just every once in a while, but every day, you ought to be declaring Jesus is Lord. He said, thou shalt be what? Saved. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you calling on the name of the Lord, or are you calling everybody else? Who are you looking to save you? Now, save is a eternal application, but it's also a temporary, right now, present tense application. Because in that word, under the umbrella of salvation, soteria means safety, preservation, deliverance, healing, protection, amen, prosperity, peace. All the things that you need in the nasty now and now. But if you don't declare Jesus as Lord, if you don't operate in faith in the power of his cross, you don't think it applies today. You just think, well, once a year, I think about the cross. Or every time I pass a statue in my house, I think about the cross, but I think about it symbolically. I don't think about it spiritually. I think about it historically. But I don't think about it right here and now. Oh, this is good stuff, isn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now let's keep going. This whole thing where Paul talks about, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Hallelujah. The gospel of Christ starts, as 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, that he died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and he went to hell. Jesus went to hell for you and me. He died our death. He took our penalty. And why are we ashamed? Shame is from the evil one. It's from sin and shame. He took the shame. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God. That's that word again, soteria. Salvation, safety, healing, protection, peace, provision, praise God, hallelujah, deliverance, healing, plus your name written down in heaven. Amen. Power of God is out to, but it's to who? To everyone who believes. If you don't believe that, you don't never say it. And if you don't believe that, you become ashamed of it. The devil makes you feel ashamed because he tells you all these things that you are to be blamed. And so he comes and raps on your head Monday morning and says, look at all this stuff. And you live in the valley of regret. Look at all the stuff you behind in. Look at how messed up your family is. Look how messed up your money is. Look at it. And you walk out of shame. And you don't magnify and boast in the power of the cross. You say, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed to talk about you because all this stuff I went through. And you magnify your misery. And you're not magnifying the Master, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. You magnifying your misery. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why be ashamed of God, of the good news? Why do people look at the cross and hang their head in shame and sorrow? And some people, and you know, bless their heart, and sometimes they may be ignorant a little bit, but we love them and we bless them. But they might do the sign of the cross. They might give reverence, particularly during the Passion Week and during Good Fridays and people eating fish and putting ashes on their head, on ash, you know, all that kind of stuff. But they're ashamed of the gospel because they're magnifying their works. They're not magnifying what he did. Why be ashamed when we should shout, I am redeemed, I am free, Jesus paid it all for me, I have victory, glory to God, sin has no hold on me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, there was and there is power in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. These 3 days and three nights, and on that early resurrection morning, which was the early first day of the week, which is Sunday, it said in all Gospels, that changed everything. And it should change everything in your life. How you believe and how you behave from this time forward. Amen? That is the gospel. That's the good news. That means no matter what state or situation I'm in, I can brag on the cross. That cross puts up a permanent barrier from the world getting into me and contaminating me, and from sin condemning and controlling me. Oh, this is good. This was enough for you to come to church this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's look at it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 5. I'm reading out a New Living Translation. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 5. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is the good news that saves, there's that word again, saves you if you continue to believe the message. You don't know how to believe it just once, my sister. You have to continue to believe it. This is just not a religious act that we did some time ago. This is a continual righteous act that we are to do every day. We have to continue to believe that Jesus died for my sins and he did it all for me. So I don't have to walk out of the house trying to do something, trying to be something, trying to have something. I can just thank God that he's done something and he's done it all for me. I'm saved not by what I do. I'm saved because of what he's done. Are you listening to me? He said, so he said, continues to save you. This message, of course, if you continue to believe the message, I told you, of course, and if you believe something that was never true in the first place, I passed on to you that was mostly important, that's still passing on to you, that Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried. He was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. And he was seen of Peter and then the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time. Most of all, most of whom are still alive, and though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born out of wrong time, I also saw him. What did they say? He's alive. He died for our sins. He rose for our righteousness. See, the devil will try to mess that up. And say, well, you ain't even got to go back and look at the cross and look. No, this is the centerpiece. This is the starting point. This is the focal point. This is where the power source begins. Right there at the cross, right there at the resurrection. That's where you receive not only every once in a while, but every day and in every way. Jesus paid it all. He did it all for you and me. Hallelujah. So why, we sent you the book, Why Was Good Friday So Good? Because he paid the price. And we got the gift of salvation. Romans 10:23 says, for the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we think, don't think religiously and think eternal life. Well, once I get to heaven, or when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that would be. No. Eternal life is now. The life of God, the power of God, the nature and ability of God is at your disposal and at your access through your faith now. This is why people sometimes get into dead religions, because they think I got to work up to get eternal life. But eternal life comes the moment you receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friend, must realize and understand that his cross was our cross. So when you looked at, when you walk next to that cross, or you walk next to a crucifix again, or you walk next to a symbol of the cross on somebody's shirt, you got to think about his cross was my cross. He was a substitute and a sacrifice for you and me. That means he stood in for us, and he stepped up for us and took our sin, our shame, our sickness, our sorrow with him to the cross. Somebody say glory to God. God, through his son, Jesus Christ, made a decision motivated by his great love for us to die our death, to pay the price for sin in hell. Wages of sin is death. He had to die. He had to spiritually die, and then he had to physically die. And he had to eternally die, which is hell. Three levels of death. Spiritual death, when he's on the cross saying, "My God, what? My God, why have you forsaken me?" First time in his life, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, took his presence. God took his presence away from him. He was spiritually separated from God. That's spiritual death. Then he died physically. When they pierced him in the side and water and blood came out, they said, "He's dead." He died physically. So they had to bury him in a tomb. And then he had to die the eternal death in hell. 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth. A lot of people don't think that way, but they think that, you know, this all, they got religious clutter in their head or wrong teaching in their head. But he had to die our death and go to our hell and go to our grave. He stepped up to be our substitute and stood up to be our sacrifice. In other words, like a substitute teacher comes in and they replace the regular teacher, he took our place. Amen. Romans 4:25, New Living Translation. He was handed over to die because of our sins. He was raised to life to make us right with God. Romans 5:8 says, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." Now, what is the power in the cross? Number one, it's to save us from the power of sin. Number two, to redeem us from the power of Satan's control over us. We've been set free. Amen. Number three, to sanctify us from the power of the world and wickedness to contaminate us and prevent us from doing anything useful for God. See, if wickedness and worldliness is around your sphere of influence and around your family lines, family a lot, then unless you are protected, you will get polluted. Is this our church? This is Triumph Word Christians, all right? Praise God. Unless you're protected, you will get polluted. And so you got to understand and comprehend the power of the cross, because you need to be sanctified from the world and the wickedness to contaminate you. Number four, to deliver us from the power of death. To defeat, destroy, and doom us to hell in the lake of fire. That's enough to shout about just right there, right? So the word sanctify, let me just define this for you. It says to make holy, to purify, to cleanse, to set apart, and consecrate. It means to set apart something or someone for a special purpose. Sanctification means not only separation from sin, but also separation from what may be permissible. It's an act of God. God sanctified you. He saved you, and then he sanctified you to himself, so you exclusively belong to God. P.C. Nelson said it this way, a renowned Bible scholar, fluent in 14 different languages, including Hebrew and the Greek. He said about sanctification, listen to this very carefully. Sanctification is realized in the believer by recognizing his identification with Christ. So what does your sanctification start? When you receive Jesus. But how does it continue? When you continually recognize and identify with Christ in his, listen to this, in his death, his burial, and resurrection, and by faith reckoning daily upon the fact of union with Christ, and by offering daily every faculty continually to the dominion of the Holy Spirit. That's what he said, sanctification. Isn't that beautiful? So sanctification is continues and empowers through our continual acknowledgement and identification of that acknowledgement of Jesus as what? Death, burial, and resurrection. Everybody said there's power in the cross and there's power in the resurrection. In other words, sanctification begins with the work God did for us in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The cross brings sin to an end. Because see, sin lets the devil in. And if you don't want the devil or the world to get in, you got to bring sin to an end and identify with the cross, because you are not the cure for sin. He is the cure for sin. Hallelujah. The old creation was destroyed, and there's a resurrection provided whereby there is a complete continuation of Christ's victory every day. And in every way. So in other words, when sin tries to enter into your lives, you simply apply or plead the blood of Jesus, and it has no power to dominate, debilitate, or devastate you. Oh, y'all need to go back and listen to this. This is good stuff. Amen. Praise God. As believers in Christ Jesus and as our Lord and personal Savior and followers of Jesus, we are identified with him. He was our substitute on the cross. He was our substitute in death. He was our substitute in hell. And when he rose from the dead, we are identified with him when he rose. Because he's alive, we are identified with him, and we are alive forevermore with him. What did Paul say? Galatians 2:20. I am, my old self, read down the New Living Translation, has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So why are we talking about how hard it is, how much of a struggle it is? If nothing defeated and devastated Jesus, nothing can defeat or devastate you. Now you just have to apply the blood. You have to apply the power of the cross and the power of his resurrection to your daily life experience. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we celebrate Jesus, what Jesus did, but we also claim and confess by faith that what we were there too. He took me to the cross with him. He rose from the dead. I rose too. He ascended and sat down next to the Father on high. He raised me up together and made me sit down next to Jesus, next to the Father in heavenly places in Christ. Jesus stood up for us, stepped in for us as our substitute and our sacrifice. Jesus is our Lord, did it all, and it was credited to our account as if we did it. I'll say it again. Jesus did it all for us, and he credited it to our account, my sister, as if we did it. So just imagine somebody go up and put $1 million in your bank account. And you say, thank you. It should have been a lot of you said that. Praise God. And you didn't do anything to do that. And perhaps may have never done anything to deserve that, in a sense. But he said, here, I paid it all. And there's so much left over for you to live off of. And he credited it to your account. You did nothing. You didn't sweat, work 1 hour. But what you did, what you had to do, you had to receive it. Amen. How do we receive things of the Spirit? By faith. You have faith. Essential is acknowledging it and agreeing with it and accepting it. Somebody say, glory to God. See, the Lord did it all. So, in other words, he gets all the glory and the praise, and we get all the credit. We get all the benefit from it. There is power in the cross. Now, let's close with this thought. The power of his resurrection. Everybody good? 1 Peter 1:3-9. This is good instruction for us. Celebrate I'm reading out of Passion Translation again. Celebrate with praises the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has shown us his extravagant mercy. For his fountain of mercy has given us new life. We are reborn to experience a living, energetic hope through what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are reborn. Listen to this very carefully. I know they can't put it up, but if you can follow along in your app or whatever. We are reborn to do what? To experience a living, energetic hope through how? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You're not born again just to live a boring, bitter, and bothered life. You're not born to live a battered life or a bruised life or a busted life. You're born again so that you can live an energetic and a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we're supposed to live this way. And he told us, he goes on to tell us, if you can read through it, you can read through it in we're reborn into a perfect inheritance, verse 4, that can never perish. Now, he didn't say an inheritance later. He said an inheritance now. Never defiled, never be defiled, and never diminished. It promises and preserves forever in a heavenly realm for you. There, through our faith, the mighty power of God constantly guards us. Through our faith. Guards us. There's that wall again. Until our full salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. May the thought of this cause you to jump for joy. Even though you've been put up with grief of many trials. You don't go around talking about, I'm having a dark week, I'm having a bad day, I'm having a devastating time in my life. You're just confessing what the devil's doing, not what the Lord's done. Well, I'm just trying to keep it real, Pastor. No, you want to keep it righteous. Amen. He said, but these only reveal the sterling core of your faith. This is far more valuable than the gold that perishes, even the gold that refined by fire. Your authentic faith will result in even more praise, glory, and honor when Jesus, the anointed one, is revealed. You love him passionately, although you did not see him. But through believing him, you are saturated with an ecstatic joy, indescribably sublime, and immersed in glory. For you are reaping the harvest of your faith, the full salvation promised you, your soul's victory. So, friends, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is a historical fact to be celebrated. True enough. But a future event to be anticipated. True enough. But a current reality to be experienced. That's also true. Are you listening to me? The same power that was in the event is in the message. Many people want more power. But in fact, you just need more gospel. Because the gospel is the power of God to salvation, to deliverance, to safety, to healing, to protection, to preservation, to welfare, to prosperity, to peace, to eternal life. If there is one word in Scripture that decisively communicates God's overwhelming determination to empower and lift you above your life circumstances, it's the word resurrection. Everybody ought to be super excited about what this day means. That means you don't have to be stuck. You don't have to stay struggling. You don't have to stay stagnant. Somebody say, glory to God. See, people who merely just give a respectful nod to Christ's resurrection once a year do not experience his resurrection power. It's just a religious tradition. They look for Easter eggs to run their kids and grandparents to. Come on now. They look for candy. They look for all the commercialization. They even think Peter is a rival to Jesus. Well, you know, Peter the rabbit. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, the world has really commercialized it because, you know, they worship the god of adultery, goddess of adultery, who was Oyster, where we get the word Easter from. And then, of course, her symbol was a money rabbit, someone who reproduces, who is very fertile. So we don't want to just celebrate the God of adultery and then compare it to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm talking to you about resurrection power. And you need to get stirred up about it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So this power can be experienced on a daily basis. Resurrection of Christ has the power to provide more than enough healing for your past, help for your present, and hope for your future. What do you need today? There's enough power. Because remember, this event was God's greatest demonstration of power. God emptied the power reservoirs. He did the ultimate power lifting and the power cleaning. He did the power of all his muscle in this event. But he said, this same power I want you to know, I want you to experience, not just when we get there one day, someday, any day, we're going to get there, but right now, receive his power. Look at Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies. The same Spirit, by the same Spirit living in. So the Holy Spirit is resurrection power. And the Holy Spirit is there inside of you to bring life to you and life to your situation. That same power that took dead things and raise them up. Remember how much power it was? I was reading through it this morning just to refresh myself on all the accounts in Matthew, John, you know, Mark, and Luke gospel. And the accounts tell us that when Christ died, there was an earthquake. There was power going on. I'm telling you, there was some power going on. And a big 3-foot curtain was ripped from top to bottom. Power going on. Somebody say glory to God. And then the Bible says when Jesus was rose, he said all the saints came, the graves were open, and all the saints come up, and they walk around Jerusalem looking. They were he raised all of the paradise that was in the region of Hades or Sheol, lifted that whole thing up. God had some power going on. Everybody say power.
Power.
Hallelujah. Resurrection power. And he says to us, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And see, in the Amplified, it tells us this way, for I am determined purpose is that I may know him, that is, that I may progressively, listen to this, become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. Not just stopping and saying, oh, that was nice what he did. No, get to know it more today. Get to know it more tomorrow. Get to know it more next week. Get to know him more next month. Somebody say glory to God. Perceive and recognizing the wonder of his person. Now notice how he says this. Perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonder of his person and more strongly and more clearly, and that I may know in the same way and come to know the power overflowing from his resurrection. The power overflowing for. So he said, I want to know the person and I want to know his power. And we ought to all have that same desire and crave, spiritually speaking, to say, I want to know his person and I want to know his power.
Amen.
This is not later after death. This is knowing Christ, the person, and his power today and every day to empower you to advance and move forward, to stay focused in Christ, to stay focused on Christ, to practice the forgetting things done before and outside of Christ, because sometimes we've done things outside of Christ. And Jesus said in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. And so we try to a lot of times do a lot of nothing because it's outside of Christ. Remember, we said, if you're not in Christ, perhaps you may be in crisis. So you want to keep in Christ, and you want to do things in Christ because that's where the power is. Somebody say glory to God. And so if you've done things before Christ and you've done things out of Christ, you need the power to eradicate that stuff and forget about those things. Because that's what he said in Philippians, right? Forgetting those things were behind. and harness the discipline and dedication faithfully to keep following wholeheartedly after Christ. Consider again his prayer. Ephesians 1:19-20, part of the prayer. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and sealed him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now, the Amplified emphasizes the fact that the resurrection power is to work in us and for us. If you read out Amplified, it works in us and for us. So is that power working in you? And is that power of his resurrection working for you? Now, I know a lot of us got things we got to believe God for and believing up against, particularly in our families. Is that power working in you and working for you? Because remember, there's no higher power than what was demonstrated on what this day represents, the resurrection of Christ. So any other power that's trying to come against your finances, come against your body, come against your family, you got higher power. But you got to know this power is working in you and working for you. Hallelujah. This means we can know the same power that raised Christ from the dead in an experiential way. Greek scholars, I'm going to make several quotes and then close. Couple of quotes. Greek scholar Kenneth Weiss points out that this incredibly great power that God released toward us is not thought of here as an operating only in the future, but also in the present. Elmer Towns writes concerning the same passage in his commentary, if Christians understood and applied the resurrection and ascension of Christ, if they understood and applied, are you applying it? The resurrection and ascension of Christ, it would radically change how much the work of God is done by them. Christians need not to be defeated. The same power, he says, that raised Jesus from the dead works not only to save us, but also to assist us in our Christian life and service. Scholars Guy Duffield and Nathaniel Van Cleve, they wrote the Pentecostal Theology book, which we studied in college. Big old thick book, man. Whew. But it's a good book, though. It's good. It's just thick, though. That thing is almost can't get a grip on it. But they were some really good Pentecostal theology doctrine, charismatic theology. And it referred to the resurrection power as the power that defeated death. Now, you got to remember, death, it takes on many different forms and facets in our respective life, or tries to, because it's been tampered by the devil. But Jesus died for us, according to Hebrews, and took him who had the power of the death, that means devil, and took death back. And he said, I have the keys of death and hell. Now, death for you financially is debt and lack, and financial famine and ruin. Death for you physically is sickness and disease. That's death working in your body, physically. Death in a marriage is divorce and separation and division. Death in your family is divisiveness, disunity, discord. Nobody on the same page. All people are split and strife going on. Death to you spiritually is sin and separation from God. You lose fellowship with God. So different forms of death working there. So the power that defeated death. And then they state that for us who believe, this same power is sufficient for every day. Listen to this, and every emergency. You got an emergency situation? You need this power to defeat death, to terminate death from continuing to progress and advance in your life experience. Amen. Do you believe that? Come on, do you believe that, church? Eugene Patterson said, the resurrection of Jesus established the conditions in which we live and mature in the Christian life. When we practice resurrection, we continually enter into what is more that we are. We enter into more than what we are. When we practice resurrection, we keep company with Jesus, alive and present, who knows where we are going better than we do, which is always from glory to glory. So I'm closing with this statement. If you've lost your power in life, in marriage, or in your job, your health, your emotions, your ministry, take it back. Because we've declared the season of restoration. You can have restored power. You know, like when you lose your lights, the lights cut off. We talked about during prayer. CPS, you know, maybe the power outage because of a storm, right? We can all relate to those. A transformer went out, whatever. But sometimes perhaps you've had a power outage in your personal life. You haven't been tapping into that power. Well, there is an opportunity during this season and time to get restored power. The power of the cross, the power of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Today, somebody say today. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, thank God.